When Katie invited me to do this, I was one of the 30 who said yes. And I was really pleased to do it because I've been doing it and teaching it, the leadership thing in cultural organisations, for 25 years or so. And so this was the first time that I'd ever been invited to put it all down, or at least some of it down, the things that I thought mattered. And I wanted, in approaching how I thought about it and what I would write, to root it in my learning from those 25 years leading and managing organisations, museum and heritage organisations, and the teaching that I've done around the world during that time, to root in that professional practice and that teaching, and particularly in the change that we've been working on in historic royal palaces during the last 7 years. So I thought I'd use up the rest of my 3 minutes by just sharing with you maybe four headlines from the piece that I wrote. I start the notion of leadership by believing that everybody who seeks to do it has to be able to look themselves in the mirror every day and say, very simply, I am a leader. That's quite a hard thing to do when you carry around your 8 or your 12-year-old self in your head, like most of us do all the time. But in order to be able to do it, and many people find themselves in leadership roles, and they can never actually say those words. You don't have to be able to say, I'm a great leader, but you do have to be able to say, I am a leader. And then from that to say, so what is it that my organisation, my team, my people need from me today and tomorrow and the next day? What's the leadership that they need from me? And what's the best leader that I can be, and how do I become that? So that notion of being able to say with confidence, I am a leader and I'm ready to embrace everything that that means for me and for my people is the starting point. And if you can't do that, you really, really should stand away from the role you've been given and let somebody else do it, because actually you'll never succeed. The second thing I wanted to say was that nobody wrote down until just now what cultural leadership looked like. And even though we've written it all down online and in the book, it's still a very complicated idea, and we've probably not written more than a little bit of what it is all about. So unlike an airline pilot or a tube train driver, whose jobs are very defined, our job is very ill-defined. And actually, we have almost infinite choice in our work every day about what we choose to do, we spend our time doing, and how we do it. And that choice of what and how, you have much more choice than you realise. And so it behoves us to exercise that choice really wisely, and to be aware that at any one time, even from the business of walking across or through your organisation to your office in the morning, you can make a lot of choices about what you say and how you say it just to the people you pass. And that's just the start of it. You know, so next time you're sitting answering your 62 emails or fiddling around with your BlackBerry, just ask yourself whether you had to do that or whether you could choose to do something that might be more leaderly. But that notion of choice and exercising it wisely and dependent on whatever the circumstances are seems to me to be a very important notion. The third thing I wanted to say was that absolutely at the heart of leadership is the need to be completely clear about what your organisation or your team or your unit or whatever it is that you're leading is for, what its purpose is. In all the organisations I've seen that have struggled around the world in the work I've been doing, the one thing that's common is the lack of clarity in answer to the question, what are we here for? What's the good that we do? And you absolutely have to drive at that question, and once you've worked it out, not just for yourself, but with all your people, to keep on communicating it, talking about it, aligning people behind it, ensuring that everything you do contributes to that. If you can do that, then everything else starts to make sense, because it can answer all your difficult questions and help guide all your decision making. That's the piece of work we did at HRP. It's what we call our cause. You can use purpose or mission or any of those other words, but it's very simply to answer the question, what are we here for? And in HRP, we describe it as our cause. And it's that cause which has driven all our work in the last 7 years and will do so indefinitely into the future. So clarity on the what are we here for, followed by the questions and what matters to us and where are we headed and how are we going to get there. Those four questions really, really seem to matter. And the fourth idea, very simply, is that if leadership's about anything, it's about change. And you know, inferred in that is change for the better, not for the worse. So it's about taking whatever you're leading from wherever it is now, in whatever context it faces, to someplace better in the future, and providing hope for all your people that they can get there. Beyond that, as the reader shows, leadership is just an indefinite journey of learning for all of us, just trying to work out the best leaders that we can be. And the final observation is just that if CLP has done anything, and it's done many great things in the last 3 or 4 years, it has left an extraordinary legacy of learning to share with people who come after us in the future. So I commend this publication to you, as others have done, and hand over to Sarah.